Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing. It is a blessing to be with you on today. I'm coming to you from New Jersey with Power in the Word. God is good and worthy to be praised. It is Monday, March the 26th, and it is 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're having a great day today. We are finally in springtime, and that's a good thing. It's about 50 degrees here in New Jersey, just to give you a level of comparison. No matter where you are, there is definitely a glimpse of spring in the air. There's a glimpse of spring in the air, and that is a good thing. Today is a little bit cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be partly cloudy with a high of 73. Wow. And then we're looking at a great day on Wednesday in 60. We're going to dip back down to 52 by Friday. So don't get too excited yet and start taking off your jackets. Amen. And praise God. It's a good day. We had a great service in church on yesterday. I am the pastor of New Creation Christian Ministries over in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where I pastor with my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. And we just do what the Lord tells us to do. It is God's ministry, and we are the shepherds that he has put there to lead and guide his people. Amen. We know our jobs, and we know them well. We are not in control. God is in control, and it is always a blessing to submit to the will of God. Amen, and praise God. Let us pray. Father, we praise your holy name, Lord. We magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. And we just take the time right now to thank you for this Power in the Word segment. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come together, to share in your word, to talk about everything that pertains to life and death, and everything that pertains to us being called by your name, being Christians, walking out the walk and not just talking the talk. So, Father, I ask that you have your way, that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Speak to each and every person who listens, Father God, and even give them, Father God, the desire to call in and participate in this program. Father, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you have done and all that you are yet to do. I pray for each and every person who is experiencing illness in their bodies. I pray that you will deliver them and heal them from any ailments that are trying to attack their physical beings. So, Lord, we bless your name. I lift up Bob Schwartz, who is my friend. I lift him up to you on today, and thank you for his healing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am excited today. I am having a good day. I am having a day of rest. Don't you know that you have to rest? Amen. No matter what is going on in your life, remember to take some time to rest so that you can regroup. You cannot do anything if you are totally fatigued. It is important for you to take some time out for yourself. Time out. Do not feel like you have to keep going when you don't feel like doing anything. Sometimes that is your body and your spirit telling you to rest, that you must rest. You must take a break sometimes. Don't feel like you have to be a super person, a super individual. Take you some time out for you. Go shopping. Go window shopping. Go to a movie and sit someplace and laugh. Go to a comedy, a clean comedy, and laugh like you have lost your mind. Sometimes you just have to let go and let God. Amen and praise God. This is a call-in show. So, guess what? I want to hear from you. I'm going to give you the dial-in number. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. Call me and talk to me about the topic for today, which is prayer. Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about what's going on with you in the area of prayer. Amen and praise God. You know, it's been an interesting weekend. I had a blessed day on Sunday. I had actually on Saturday. My weekend started on Saturday. I had a book signing on Saturday, March the 24th, at the Crossroads of Life bookstore over on Maple Avenue. If you have not been to this bookstore and you are in the New Jersey area, you want to stop on over to the Crossroads of Life bookstore at 1567 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey, where Pastor Williams and First Lady Minister Williams are the proprietors, and they are running an anointed shop there. God is all up in the store. I was scheduled to speak there. I was not scheduled to preach. I was scheduled to speak. I went out with my husband. My daughter, who is also an author, Kayla Joy Simmons, is the author of Kayla's Day, and we will be launching her book, Kayla's Day, right along with Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. We will be launching those books in May, on May the 26th. So stay tuned for more information about that. But Pastor Williams and First Lady Minister Williams are a blessing. They were a blessing to my husband, my daughter, and myself. They welcomed us there. The Holy Spirit was there. God was welcome, and I was supposed to speak. My psalmist sang a song. I opened my mouth to pray, and I was trying to speak. I was trying not to preach, but sometimes God moves, and you have to just move out of the way. God moved, and I had to move out of the way. Amen and praise God. And we had church. We had church right there in the bookstore in Hillside, New Jersey. So if you haven't been there, you want to make your way over there. They have everything that you need. If you are a pastor, you will be able to get everything that you need for your church services, everything that you need for your deacons, for your ministers, for your Bible study. They have everything there, Bibles and music and communion, where everything that you need, even robes. I purchased some beautiful robes there. That's how I met them. And they have Murphy's robes. Everything that you need, they have. And it's a beautiful experience to go there because you know that God is there. Amen and praise God. So I had a blessed book signing. I want to thank everybody that came out on Saturday to support me. I want to thank Carol for coming out. Carol Patron, she stopped out. Emmeline Elize, I want to say thank you to Arlie for coming out. Tasha came. I just met Tasha last week at Toastmasters, and Tasha came out to show her support. I want to thank everybody that took the time out of your busy schedule, even the people that I met there that welcomed me, that were enthusiastic about my books. Everybody bought books. Kayla sold out. And it was just a blessed day, so I want to thank you all for coming out and supporting me as I continue to move forward to do what the Lord has called me to do. Amen. It was a blessed day, and we were supposed to be there until 2 o'clock, but we did not leave there until about 3:30. That's how much of a good time that we were having, because you know that you can do business and work and also have a good time while you're doing it, as long as you stay focused. And this was the easiest time that I have ever had selling books. I didn't have to sell the books. The Lord has blessed me in such a way that those books just flew off the table. And I know that that is a result of the favor of the Lord that I have over my life. I know that God blessed me on Saturday, so I thank God for the blessing that I had on this particular Saturday. So that was a blessed event. That was a blessed event. Now I'm going to, again, you're listening to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I want to invite you to call me, 646-652-4832. And you could call me. We're talking about the power of prayer today and the necessity for prayer. And I'm going to do what I love to do, which is read a scripture, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there because the verse that I really want to highlight is verse 23. Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And the great thing about scripture is that it really does give you some insight into the life of Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn among the brethren, amen. And he is our example of how we should conduct our relationship with each other, as well as, and more importantly, our relationship with ourselves and God the Father, amen. The wonderful thing that I love about this scripture, and just bear with me one second, I'll take a pause for the cause. Okay, I was trying to take a pause for the course because I realized that I left my call waiting on, and I'm going to go ahead and ignore that. Pray for me, amen. Pray for me, amen. Praise the Lord. Pray with me, hallelujah. But the wonderful thing about this scripture is that Jesus did something very important here. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. It did not say that he took anybody with him. He did not take the disciples with him. He did not take the multitudes. He dismissed the crowd. And he also, before he dismissed the crowd, made the disciples go ahead of him. And he said, I'll catch up with you later. You go ahead and get into the boat, go to the other side. He dismissed the crowd, and he went by himself to pray. This was before he walked on water, because right after he came down from the mountainside, right after he came down from prayer, he looked out on the lake and saw the boat out there being buffeted by the waves. He noticed that the disciples were in trouble again on the water. And just before he walked on water, he fed the 5,000. So before he did a miracle and after he did a miracle, Jesus did what? He prayed. Jesus took some time to pray. And that's what I'm saying to you on today. Prayer is just so very important. It's just so very important that we take some time to pray. There are many things that happen while we're praying. The first thing and the most important thing is that we are communicating with God. We're communicating with God the Father. And Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, and he began that prayer by saying what? Our Father, who art in heaven. So the first thing that you have to realize is that prayer is just so very important because it keeps you in communication with God. Remember, it is not our will, but God's will that should be being done when we live our lives, when we minister to people, when we do what we do on a daily basis. Because if we're walking according to the purpose of God and according to the plans of God, it is important that God's will be made manifest in our lives. And the only way that we're going to know what God's will is by taking some time to pray. So he communicated with God. What do I mean when I say he communicated with God? I'm sure that he showed his appreciation for the Lord, the Father, and told the Father how much he loves him. I'm sure that he went on to say, Father, let your will be done, and thank you for allowing me to do the miracles that you have allowed me to do. And then I'm sure that he saw his face for direction and said, Father, tell me what is it that you will have me to do next. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Father and say, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for what you have already done in my life. Then the next thing we have to do is begin to say, Father, let your will be done. Whatever your plan is that you have for my life, it is my intention, it is my desire that your plan be made manifest in my life. Let your will be done in my life as you have already ordained it in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. And then we should pray for repentance. Maybe Jesus did this also, to forgive me, Father, for any sin that I have done, for anything that I have done that was not within your will, for any act of disobedience on my part. We need to go ahead and pray and ask God for forgiveness. And then we need to move into asking God to give us direction. What are my steps, Lord? Let me know what it is that you would have me to do next. What is the next thing for me to do, or what is the best thing for me to do from this point on? Am I in line with your will? It's a checkup. It's actually going in there for a spiritual checkup to say, God, am I on track? Am I on target? Thank you for getting me out of that situation. And thank you for the blessing that you've given me, or the blessings that you've given me. Prayer is communication with God. The second thing that prayer does is it helps you to refresh yourself spiritually. Come on, I know that you will agree with me that we get tired. Sometimes we just get tired. I know I'm not the only one that gets to the point where I don't want to do anything but sit on my couch and look at a sitcom because I'm tired. And the Bible tells us that times of refreshing are found in the presence of the Lord. So get off by yourself and take some time to pray. I know that you pray in church. I know that you pray as a family or in a group, but take some time by yourself and go somewhere and pray, just between you and God and nobody else. Between you and God, take some time for you and God so that you're not confusing the well-intended voices of your friends and family with the voice of God. You are knowing that you're hearing from God and that you're not having your vision blurred by other people's opinions and other people's voices. So take that time alone to be with God. And when you do that, you're refreshing yourself spiritually. You know, I came home after a high service on yesterday. The Lord is moving in our church. And again, we're at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. If you ever want to stop over, you are more than welcome. The doors of the church are open for you to visit with us if you have a church home already, or for you to come and join with us in the mission that the Lord has given us to make a difference in this world. But we had a great service yesterday, but there were so many different things going on in the church, and Pastor Anthony, my husband, and I, we were up and we were down, and we were feeling compassion for some people and celebrating with some other folk. And the dynamics of the ministry are so phenomenal that it's a rush. It's a spiritual rush that can be draining at the end, that can be anticlimactic at the end when it's all over and you sit back and you look at all of the things that you could have done, or perhaps some things that you should have done. And that's the way that it is with life. It is always going to be something. There is always going to be something that you could have done differently, or something that you could have done, period, or something that you should not have done. Maybe not sin, but maybe you could have made a decision in the other direction. When you're dealing with people and when you're dealing with life, there's always going to be an alternative decision that you could have made, or you should have made, or that you would have made had you been better informed. Hindsight, let me just encourage you, if you have made a mistake in your life, that hindsight is always 20/20. When you're looking back at the situation, when you're looking over the situation, when you're looking back over your life and you see, man, I could have handled that differently, or I should have done this instead of that. Hindsight, looking back, you're always going to have 20/20 vision. Amen? Praise God. So you refresh yourself, and that's what I did. I laid on the couch, and I started talking to the Lord. I started praying. Nothing fancy. Just, God, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Father, I love you so much. I love you. I love you, God. I love you, and I worship you, Lord. I magnify your name. I love you so much. God, I love you. Oh, I love you. I thank you, and I praise you. And just by doing that, I started feeling myself get refreshed. I started feeling myself feeling better. And it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. God is good and worthy to be praised. And then the other thing, and I just want to take a station identification break. Just bear with me. You'll hear one moment of silence. Okay, praise God. And then another thing that happens when you go into a time of prayer is that you get your focus. You're allowed to stay focused. When you're taking time out for prayer, like Jesus went up to this mountainside by himself. He didn't take anyone with him. And he took some time to pray. He didn't get caught up in the fact that he had just fed 5,000 people. He didn't get caught up in taking the glory upon himself. He didn't hang out with the boys and talk about how great it was and how many people they were able to feed and how phenomenal it was. He didn't get caught up in the rush, but he immediately took some time to pray because he knew that there was a chance for the temptation to come in, for him to get proud and arrogant and to get puffed up and caught up on himself. So whenever you do great exploits for the Lord, whenever the Lord is moving through you in a mighty way, whenever God is giving you reason to celebrate, cause to celebrate, make sure that you take some time out to pray right there. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait, because you could get given to the temptation to begin to glorify yourself and begin to boast upon yourself. The Bible says, if we boast, boast upon the Lord. And I want to be like Paul and boast upon the Lord and all of the great things that the Lord is doing. But it allows you to stay focused. And I believe that prayer allows you to go and say, okay, God, I realize that I'm in my purpose. This is the plan that you have for my life, and I want to stay focused. I don't want to get distracted. Sometimes we can get distracted by so many good things going on in our lives or even some of the bad things or things that we would consider to be bad, because we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, but we can get distracted. So prayer helps you to stay focused. God can download his plan for you into your heart, amen, so that his plans become the desires of your heart, amen. So prayer. Jesus went out to a quiet place to pray, and I'm encouraging you today, if you haven't done so, to go off to a quiet place periodically, daily, to pray. Go every day and to a quiet place, even when you wake up in the morning. Go ahead and pray before you start your day. During the course of the day, when you have decisions to make that may make a major impact on your life, go ahead and pray. When things happen in your life, maybe you have more bills than you have more money. Maybe you have more bills than you have money. Maybe your children are not acting like you would want them to act. Maybe you're having problems in your marriage, or maybe your marriage is going better than it's gone in a while. That is the time to stop and pray, to say, thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life, even for taking the bad things and turning them around to make them work together for my good. Amen. Because sometimes when you go through trials and tribulations, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see the fact that this is really for your good. Amen. Praise God. So take some time to pray. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm coming to you with Power in the Word. And it's a call-in show. It is a call-in show. Every day I'm going to change the format and come to you with different aspects of the Word of God. Come to you, I'll come to you every day with a scripture and a topic. And today we're talking about prayer. You can call in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. Because I realize that sometimes it helps to have somebody to bounce ideas off of, or somebody to clarify things, or even to pray with. Since this is a show on prayer, I'm available to pray with you about a decision maybe that you've been praying on, and also to encourage you to keep praying to God. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. So yes, go to godly counselors and get some advice, and then make sure that you're going back to that quiet place to spend some time with our Father who is in heaven, to make sure that He's speaking to you and telling you which direction you should go. And don't be afraid to move out on faith, because James tells us that if we lack wisdom, that we should ask God and believe that we receive that wisdom from God, and don't be unstable going backwards and forward with our decision. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and that person cannot expect to receive anything from God. So when God gives you wisdom in the area that you are seeking wisdom from Him for, make sure that you receive it as that, and go ahead and make your decision and step out on faith and follow up on that decision. What does your faith look like? Your faith should look like you've been to God and prayed to God, and that you've gotten an answer from God and moved out on that answer. There should be some action lined up with what you're believing the Lord for. Amen. And if God doesn't give you an answer, don't rush on up out there. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Know that God, if He hasn't answered your prayer, that He will if you just wait on the Lord. Because sometimes no response means wait. If you don't have a peace in your spirit, then that means that God wants you to wait. Amen. And praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about our upcoming events for a moment here. Pastor Anthony and I have a seminar coming up. It is a seminar that we are conducting as a part of our New Life Speakers ministry. We have a speaking company, motivational speaking company. It's all about making sure that people are going up and not down. To encourage people, to motivate means to inspire to move. Amen. So we are motivational speakers because we inspire people to move in the right direction. Amen. So we're having a seminar on April the 21st, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. We will be serving a continental breakfast, followed by a workshop on making marriage and relationships work. Amen. So we are dealing with relationships, because before you get married, you should be in relationship. And after you get married, you should be in relationship, not just with the person that you want to marry or the person that you are married to, not the people, because you only want to be married to one person, but not just to the person that you're in relationship with pertaining to marriage, but also to the people in your life, the other people in your life, as well as, and more importantly, with God. It is important that you be in relationship with God, and that's what I was talking about when I was talking about prayer, to make sure that your relationship with God is intact. Because if your relationship with God is good, everything else will line up, believe me. And that relationship with God has to be through Jesus Christ, because Jesus told you in the Bible, He tells us that there's no other way to the Father but through Him. Amen. So we're going to have a continental breakfast, and we're starting that at 9:30 with registration, and we're also serving lunch. Amen, and praise God. I have a caller here, and I'm going to open up the board to speak to my caller. Welcome to Power in the Word. You're on the air. This is Pastor Rebecca.
Pastor Rebecca, Ron Henderson, how are you today?
Hello, Ron. How are you today? I'm blessed.
I'm blessed and highly favored, but I'm calling because although I'm spiritually fit and physically fit and help people in that area of my life, I'm really having a problem with my helpmate, my wife.
Okay.
And I don't know where to go with it, because realistically speaking, when I look at our financial situation right now, we need to downsize. And I'm telling her that we need to downsize because we don't have the money that we need for things, and she refuses to sell the house that she convinced us to buy together, that I didn't want to buy initially.
Okay.
So I'm just looking for some help, because I'm at the point in my life where it's something that's interfering with my peace, and I always said I wouldn't let anything interfere with the peace of God, and it is interfering with the peace of God because I'm just using common sense. Common sense is we can't afford the house. Let's sell the house, get a nice place for $1,400 a month, which is nice. I mean, you can rent a nice apartment for $1,400 a month.
Yes.
So I just need some advice. I'm having a hard time with this.
Amen, and I can understand why, because if you're not on one accord, then there will be, you will have a very difficult time having peace.
Right.
If you're not on one accord, because you are married to your wife, and you are the Bible tells us that the man is the head of the household, and there, it seems like things are out of order, because your wife is not submitting to the fact that you are her husband, and although you're not her boss, you're supposed to talk about stuff, which you have, but ultimately, my husband and I believe, and some people may fight me on this, but my husband and I believe that the final decision is his.
Right.
The final decision belongs to the man, and if that man makes a wrong mistake, then we, as the wife, as long as that man is following God, and for the women who are listening, this is not to say that you should follow your husband out and let yourself get outside of the will of God. But if that man is following God and has proven himself to be spiritually fit to head your household, then when he makes a decision, that decision should be the one that you both abide by after you have discussed this particular issue.
So then what do you do if you've discussed it and she refuses to look at the reality of the situation?
Well, there you have you really do have a problem, because there are a couple of things that you can do. And actually, if you both own the house, you're not going to be able to sell the house without her consent.
Well, she would sell it, but the fact that I don't know what to do because she doesn't want to. Do I just sell it?
She would sell it, but
she would have to sell it because she knows that she, you know, we got the house together, but other than her signing her name down there, she didn't put anything into it, you know?
Okay, so basically, you know that you would really be creating emotional problems in your household if you go ahead and sell the house, knowing that in her heart she does not want to sell it.
Right, but we have that right now because we have no money.
You have no money. So it's not a win-win at all. It's basically not a win-win. What I was suggesting, and this is important, when you come up against this wall, this is like a brick wall for you, I would suggest that you go to counseling if you haven't tried that already.
Tried that.
You have tried that. Okay, and the other thing I would suggest is, because you know that to be financially fit, that the best thing for your family is for you to sell the house, then I would sit down and say, honey, this is the decision that I've made, that we should go ahead and sell the house, because if we don't sell the house, we're going to be on Skid Row or in bankruptcy, and then our histories, finances are going to be messed up. And see if you can get to reason with her, to get her to agree, even though she doesn't want to. In 3 years, think about it. If you sell the house now, in 36 months, you can be buying another house.
Well, I know. That's what I mean, I was going to write a book entitled Downsized Upsized.
Yes, amen.
Because it's not going to be a problem. But right now, I mean, you can live really nice in a place, excuse me, for $1,300 to $1,500 a month, a nice two-bedroom condo. So, but she's really into impressing people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's concerned about. She has Bible studies in the house, and she wants to make this good impression.
So, but what happens when she faces foreclosure and has to face these same people and let them know that she lost the house, it would be easy, and maybe you can tell her, it would be easier to explain to people that we sold the house in order to restructure and to just start over than to tell people that she lost the house due to foreclosure.
Right. I'd lose the $48,000 I put down. She would lose that. She would just lose the fact that she's not in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say you have to pray. And, Ron, this is something that I know you do because I'm familiar with your show. And I would say prayer is going to be the best thing for you now to say to God, as the man, you as the man, to say to the Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? And then pray with your wife. Do you guys pray together?
We do, except that when she gets moody, it's hard for me to do it because as soon as I start talking to her about anything that's important, she clams up and gets in a shell and doesn't want to talk, and so.
Okay, so you're basically having marital problems. It's really not so much about the house. You know, there are a lot of different things going on in your home, and what I have to tell you that's going to help you is to seek the Lord's face and continue to seek his face for everything. And God will give you peace even in the middle of the situation, because you talked about your peace being disrupted because of this particular situation and the way that your wife acts sometimes.
Right.
If you continue to just go to the Lord, because Jesus talked about trials and tribulations, and he encouraged us to take heart because he had overcome the world. And even in our lives, anytime that you're interacting with another person, especially if you're married to that person, you believe that marriage should be forever. I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're going to have to go through some changes with the person that you're married to. And the best way that you're going to be able to deal with your wife is first through prayer, and then by communication, and then by making the right decisions for your family. You know, I don't think it would be conducive to your marriage for you to go into bankruptcy.
Yeah, and it's not conducive to the pocketbook right now, because I'm stressed out with the fact that there's no money for nothing. And there will be eventually, but right now there isn't.
Is there a chance that this situation can turn around where you won't?
Yes, I could mess around and lose the money that I put down on the house in the meeting. Eventually it will be. Eventually. I'm working on doing more seminars and different things. Eventually it will be. But in the meantime, I can't. It's too stressful right now in my life.
Can your wife do anything to help the financial situation?
She won't take a different job or nothing either. She's been offered more, better pay and everything, doing the same kind of work. She won't do it. She's scared to take a change in her life, so.
Yeah, I would encourage you both. If there are any seminars or conferences that you two can take a part in together, I would encourage you to do that.
We just went to one, and a bishop there who she's never met before.
Uh-huh.
Everything that I told her 6 weeks ago, told her, as he shook hands with her, he said, "I got to pray for you," and told her everything that I told her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would make an impression on her.
Yes.
Because we've never met him before in our lives, so. And apparently it hasn't, because she's still acting the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on the outside she's acting the same, but I would think when you meet a total stranger and they tell you about your past and they tell you that you're not supporting your husband and you need to support your husband and all this stuff, but you didn't say a word to him, I would think that would wake you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this was at a marriage retreat that you guys went to?
A marriage thing that they had at church.
Okay. So there's a stronghold. There's some issues that Mrs. Your wife has to deal with, and you can't save her. You know, you've done all that you can, and you're really going to have to pray your way through this and pray that the Lord would give you the wisdom to make the right decisions. And I believe that you already know what the right decisions are, and then you're going to have to move forward and make the right decisions without alienating your wife.
Right. Well, the reason I'm calling you is I was driving yesterday, and actually in a car, I felt like I was about to have a stroke in the car over the stress.
Yeah, you're having stress. You're having stress.
Do I want to mess around and have a stroke over this stuff?
No, absolutely. The devil is a liar.
You know.
The devil is a liar. That's what he wants. See, we have to realize that we have a very real enemy in this world. And the first thing the devil wants from you is your peace, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
He wants you to get off course because you're focused and you're doing something for the Lord. You're in ministry, and you're being a man of God, and that's very hard to find, men who stand up and be stand-up husbands. You're doing what you have to do. Do not let anybody give anybody the power to take your peace, even your wife.
It interrupts your destiny because she's even lying to me, too, and the reason I know she's lying because when I asked her, did the mortgage company call at all, have they called, she said no, and there's 4 messages on her phone from the mortgage company. So she's not even being honest with me about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so you're going to have to take control because there's a lot going on here, and you're not going to have any peace either way, whether you agree with her or disagree with her. And whether you agree with her and go under,
right,
or you disagree and lose, you know, feel like you're going to lose a whole lot more. I'm not telling you what decision to make. God is going to tell you that. You need to just know, make the decision and stick with it. Ask God for wisdom, and I know that you have a relationship with God, and take that decision and move out on it.
Right,
now, your wife, you're not leaving her. You're not out of order. She is. You have to continue to talk to her. I'm saying get some more counseling, even though you've had it before and it seems like it's not working. And you pray, Ron. You stay in God's face. Read your word and stay in the face of the Lord and say, God, give me peace. Pray for peace give me peace, because you're in a storm in your marriage. And you pray and you ask God for peace. The devil right now wants to take you out. Like, you're a young man and you're into fitness and you're into being spiritually and physically fit, and you want to be financially fit as well. And this is the area, and you want to be fit in your marriage. So
either. And I'm actually, my friend here that I'm training actually allowed me to call you.
Okay.
Because I'm actually working. I'm actually picking up the weight for him right now, handing him weight while we're talking.
Oh, praise God, praise God. Well, that's good that you reached out, and I want to pray with you before we hang up. But I definitely want to give you godly counsel and to say that you have to really go into your quiet place. You know, because we're going to, and it's good to talk to people. I talked about that earlier in the show. Make sure that you get some counseling, which you're doing now, and you're probably talking to a couple of your godly friends, and talk to your pastor.
Right.
Talk to your pastor.
I got to get off the phone if you want to pray for me.
Okay, I'm going to pray now. Father God, we praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my brother Ryan, Father God. And I thank you for his heart to want to be a man of valor and stand up and do the right thing for himself and his family. I pray right now for his marriage, Father God. Plead the blood of Jesus against the hand of the enemy on his marriage. I sprinkle his marriage with the blood. I pray for his wife, Father God, that you will open up her heart, Father God, to help her to understand, Father God, that this man has only her best interests at heart, Father God. Help her, Lord, to seek you for herself, Father God, and to know you in a way that she's never known you before, Father God. Open up the eyes of her understanding and help her, Lord, to know the plans that you have for her, to prosper and not to harm her, to give her hope for her future. I pray for this man of God, for her husband, Lord, that you will help him to make the right decisions. And even as he seeks your face, that you will open up, Father God, his vision through your spirit so that he can see the plans that you have for him and his family. I come against destruction of this marriage, and I pray, Father God, that they will have congruency in their marriage, Father God. I plead the blood of Jesus over their marriage and every endeavor that they set their hands to. I pray for increase, even in the area of their finances, that you will open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing, Lord, right now to meet every need, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, and let them walk in total wisdom, and let them walk as a threefold cord with the husband, wife, and the Spirit of God. So, Lord, we praise you and we magnify you. I come against stroke. I come against heart disease. I come against stress. And I pray for peace for my brother, peace that surpasses all understanding. Father God, I ask that you have your way in his marriage, in his life, in his heart, in his mind, and even in his ministry, Father God, that he won't be put off track, that he won't be distracted, that he will press forward through prayer and perseverance. In the name of Jesus, I cover this man and his marriage and his life, everything pertaining to him, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, my brother, I know you have to go.
I'm at work here, okay?
Amen. I'll keep you in prayer. Thanks for calling in.
Keep up the great work you're doing, too.
Thank you. God bless you.
Appreciate it, okay?
Amen. Praise God. Have a great day. Okay, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca, and I'm signing off. And that caller, look for prayer and godly counsel. Amen. And I pray that the Lord will have his way in their marriage, because God is not a God of confusion, amen, and God loves that brother and his wife. They are both Christians, and that's what I'm talking about, continuing to pray, continuing to seek the Lord's face, and knowing that God has a marvelous plan for your life, amen. Amen. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and you have been listening to Power in the Word. Remember to pray, seek God's face, take some time out, spend some time with the Lord. Don't let anyone or anything take your peace. Remember my brother, remember my sister, to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.